Talking a lot about the dinim of a melech, and I think it was Ilan who asked last week about the mitzvah. Is there a chiyuv? Is there a rishus? So I said we'll get to that. We'll get to that today. And in understanding the mitzvah of appointing a king, we also have to understand the power given to the king. So we discussed a little bit about the honor one bestows upon a king, but you know, what types of checks and balances are in place for a king. In America is, I don't know much about many other governments. But America certainly has a lot of checks and balances. One can argue whether they're good or not good or how efficient they are. Certainly there are some governments that don't have any checks and balances and are completely dictatorships, even monarchies. So what type of power, strength, ability, and limitations do kings have? So let's start off with the Mishnah tells us, we start off talking about that he's motzi l'mechama, mechames reshus al pi bezdin shoshim v'yachad. That was yesterday's discussion, his ability to declare war. As the general, as the commander-in-chief, who poets lasos l'derech, is able to breach through the walls and make a path if he needs. We'll discuss that towards the end, which type of path he's allowed to make. Vein m'mach b'yad, you're not able to protest him, you can't stop him. V'hamelech, derech hamelech, ein lo shir. You know, the parade of the king is coming through with all his soldiers, his army. There's no shir, it's as big as it needs to be. And whenever they collect spoils, they have to give it to the king, who Notel Chelik Broshi takes first. We're going to discuss next week about the ability of the king to collect from the spoils of war and how he divides it, how much money he's allowed to have. That'll be a different topic for next week. But this is what the Mishnah tells us. So then the Gemara decides to introduce to us this what's called Parshas Melech. Parshas Melech, if I would have asked anybody without looking at Rashi what's Parshas Melech, they probably would have told me, and I would have thought the same thing, it's Parshas Shoftim. In the Torah, not Shoftim the Nevi'im, but in the Torah, where it tells you about the mitzvah of appointing a king. But Rashi tells us, not referring to Parshas Melech in Parshas Shoftim, rather it's referring to a Parsha Psukim in the Sefer Shmuel. And there in Sefer Shmuel, the Psukim tell us that the king has the rights to B'neichem, B'noseichem, Yikach. He could take your sons and daughters and have them as part of the army, which pretty much indicates he has full bailus over everyone who's living in his nation, his country, in his area. So that's what means Parshas Melech. So the Gemara says, Kola Amr b'Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. That which is listed in the Psukim in Sefer Shmuel is permitted. The king's allowed to do whatever it tells him to do. He could take boys and girls and throw them in the army. And Rav argues in Shmuel. Rav says, not true. This is simply to instill fear upon them that the king has the right to do so, but does not really have the right to do so. And then the Gemara uses that to discuss the question of whether or not there's a mitzvah of appointing a king. And there are different languages used in the Gemara. The Gemara says there are gimel mitzvos, nitztavu yisol b'nisasim l'aretz Yisrael, la'amid la'melech, three mitzvahs. One is to appoint a king, one is to destroy Amalek, and the other one is to build the base of Bechir, the base of Mikdash. Tomorrow, Mi'at Hashem, we're going to discuss the mitzvah of building the base of Mikdash based on the next few lines here. But one of the mitzvahs is the mitzvah of appointing a king. And then the Gemara says, not true, there's no really mitzvah, it's Tarum Olson, they complained, they want to be like the goyim around them, Vamarta, Asima, Lai Melech. It's not really a mitzvah, it's just, they wanted to be no different than the Am HaAretz around. So, based on the Gemara, there seem to be two opinions, whether or not there's a mitzvah, or whether this was a bad thing, a negative thing to appoint a king upon them. So, the Rishonim weigh in, and the Ibn Ezra, which I hope you had a chance to see, right, it's rishus, it's voluntary. He doesn't say whether it's a mitzvah or not. You know, there's some mitzvah kiyumus, which is a rishus, wearing tzitzis, for example. It's a rishus. I don't have to wear tzitzis if I'm not wearing dalet kanfos. If I'm wearing dalet kanfos, so then I need to put tzitzis on. That's a rishus, but it's a mitzvah kiyumus. Ibn Ezra doesn't tell us whether it's a mitzvah kiyumus or just a rishus. It's voluntary. It could be I could raise my hand, that's rishus, that's not a mitzvah. Seemingly, he says there's a mitzvah involved. It's a mitzvah kiyumus, l'chora, according to Ibn Ezra. The Barbanel, Barbanel says, not true. Barbanel says, there is no mitzvah here at all to speak of. And the psukim that are talking about appointing a melech that are mentioned in Parsha Shoftim is simply just telling the future. It's going to foreshadow what's going to be. And Kadosh Baruch Hu knows, very strong language Barbanel has. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that they're going to be kafoy tov, they're going to reject all the good of Kadosh Baruch Hu did for them. And they're going to say, we need a king, we need a general to lead us through the armies against all the enemies. And didn't they realize that they didn't need a king before this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of them? Suddenly they forget what Hashem did and He saved them. And now they need a king. And he says, that's what it means. Va'amarta, you are going to say, he's predicting, he's going to tell us what's going to happen. that you're going to say, Asim alai melech appoints for us a king, kechol agoyim asher sivivosai, they're around us. We want to be just like the Jordanians and the Syrians and the Iranians. We want to be just like them. Lo mar lo lehechrich lo letzorech klal. The Torah is saying that not that you have to, there's no need to do so, but you're doing this because you want to be like the goyim, chukas a goyim of some sort. And that's what he's anticipating. So if there is no mitzvah at all, and he's Barbanello is taking the approach of the Rabbi Nurai that was only kineged tarumosim, only because of their complaints, they're wanting to be like the goyim around them. Say again. So Lufiza in your mouth mitzvahs asid to live bedavar rishus. So it depends on the rishus. Gomer kasher tirtel asukim ha'yus ablil to roi. So it's a rishus, but it's from a negative place though. It's not a good thing at all. It could be similar to what we have. There's a fascinating machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid about whether or not the mitzvah rifas peter chamor is a mitzvah or not. Right? The mitzvah pidyon peter chamor, which means if an animal, a firstborn donkey is born to my animal, my donkey, so there's a mitzvah being poder. Now, the Gemara says, based on the Pesukim, if I don't want to be poded, I could do a rifa, I could break its neck and it'll die. So the way you're poded a chamor is you take the donkey, you're poded onto a seh, and the seh goes to the kohen, you get to keep the chamor. If I don't want to do that, I could break the donkey's neck and I bury it, that's it. So this machlokas, Rambam, Ravid, is that a mitzvah, is that not considered a mitzvah? So the Rambam said, that's a mitzvah also? Yeah, it's a mitzvah. The Ravid says, that's not a mitzvah, that's mafsid mamon kohen. You can't count that as a mitzvah, you're destroying something here. So what the Mari Krukers there talks about a whole slew of other mitzvahs whereby it's a negative thing, but it's still one of the mitzvahs. Mises Bezdin is not a good thing, but sometimes you have to do it. There's you have to follow along with what the rules are. Gittin is not a good thing, but if you have to go through the process, this is how you do it. That's a mitzvah. So the Rambam has no problem calling negative things mitzvahs, but the Ravid seems to have such a problem. So the Barbanel, yes, he calls it a mitzvah. The Gemara calls it a reshus of some sort, three mitzvahs, but still a negative. It's not a positive thing at all. It's not because they deserve it, they should have it. It's because they're complaining like the guy around them. It could be Eishit Shvas Torah be in the same category as well, where that's certainly a negative thing, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood the nature of a Yetzirah, and therefore better to do it this way than do it that way. So that's not, I don't think it's a stira. It's a very negative angle of this type of mitzvah. So then, that's a Barbanel's approach. So it's a reshus. Barbanel, in Echanami, calls it reshus, but it's from a negative place. The Rambam doesn't talk about such negativities at all. He just calls it a mitzvah. Open question whether it's an obligation or it's a reshus. Ramban clearly states that it's a mitzvah asay sheyis chayiv osanu lomar king. The chiv is, it's an obligation, but we have to request. It has to come from us. You know, one could question whether or not, you know, bnos tzlafchar, let's say. That whole story of the daughters inheriting, is that something that they created? Or Akash Baruch Hu allowed them to ask for it? Akash Baruch Hu knew it was going to be always. But did Akash Baruch Hu set it up in such a way where he wanted the women to ask for it, and then he'll give it? But that was always part of the understanding. Or Pesach Sheni as well. It was always part of the understanding there was a makeup. But he wanted the people who were Derech Rechok and Tameh to ask for it. Or no, he didn't plan on this happening. He, of course, knew what would be. But Akash Baruch Hu's initial intention was not that there'd be a Pesach Sheni, not that there'd be a Benos Tzlafchad, but they actually created it. Ramban says this was always understood. It had to have come through their request. That's how it had to come. And therefore, it's a mitzvah say, Sheyichayev Osanu Lomarkin, that we must request it. That's what was being anticipated. And that's a mitzvah that we come forward to the Kohanim Levim to say, please appoint us a king. We want a king. And therefore, it's some type of chiv upon the nation to ask for this. So you have a chiv, a reshus, a mitzvah kumis, and then this Abarbanel, which is a very negative understanding of a melech being more like chukas akum, even though it might be chalked up as a mitzvah, it's still from a negative approach. Now the Netziv being, you know, later amongst all the Mefarshim here, he has just a very interesting conversation about different types of governments. And what the Hamak Davar writes is that it's not a mitzvah muchlad, it's not a chiyuv, it's a reshus. To reshus to do so. But the reshus that he's describing is not because asking for a king is bad, per se. He said it depends. Depends on the society, depends on the time and place. And just the language is interesting of it. He seems to be balancing between democracies versus monarchies. And I'll just read the language here. He says, Nira de mishum de hanhagas hamedina, mishtana, depending on the country, it changes. Im misnahega pidas mulcha, or pidas ha'am v'nim v'charem. So we could talk about current politics if you want, and what's going on now, If it's about the people and democracy, so you and I, of course, assume that the country seems to be falling apart to a certain extent. It was worse a few months ago, probably. And New York City is a great example of something falling apart because defunding the police. And it's about the people, what the people want, and how we feel. And that's when that happens, that's when you need a monarchy. You need a king who knows how to rule with an iron fist to put things back in order. But then if you have, to the extreme, you have a government such as, let's say, I don't know, North Korea, where there's a dictatorship and the people have no say, then that's obviously the other extreme. So there's no one time or place where a monarchy is good and a democracy is better. It seems to be balanced depending on what the time is needed. So he says, Yesh Medina, there's some places. She'enu yechalu lisbol das melucha. They just can't handle a king. They just can't have a dictator or a monarchy, however they run the place here. And Yesh Medina, there are certain places. B'dilo melcha, there's no king, there's no ruler, there's no police. Harehi kisfina bli kavrinit. It's like a boat without a captain. V'davar zeh yef sharlas osa pi hechrech mitzvahs aseh. So that will happen. You need a mitzvah in place. And that's where he goes on to explain that sometimes, even though there's a mitzvah of having a king, but in the end of the day, you could be sakanas nefashos, you could be docha mitzvahs aseh, and it gets into a whole nice conversation about haskamas ha'am, the power of the people versus the power of the king, the present. And it all depends on the time of the place and where we find ourselves. Okay. Now, so that's the question whether there's a mitzvah. Again, rishus, mitzvah chiyuvis. It's almost a negative thing, or it's depending on the time. So now let's talk about, after discussing the mitzvah of the melech, how much power does a king actually have? How much power does he have? And you could talk about a dictator versus a king, and each government has a different understandings of the rules and the constitutions, but how does the Torah view the power of the king? So here we have the Tosos. We saw already once before, but we haven't had a chance to analyze it as much as we'd like to. Tosos on the page of Chaf Amabez asks two questions. He says, if it's really true that the melech is mutter in everything that's mentioned in Parsha Shoftim, he could take boys and girls and make them part of the army, and he could take land and property, so how come Achav, who was a king, was punished on the Maisa with Navos? He had taken the land away from him, Navos refused to sell the property, the Kerem, to him, and Achav ended up taking it away, and he was punished for doing so. And moreover, we have a story of the Gemara Baba Kama, the David Melech wasn't sure whether or not he's allowed to take piles of barley to give to his animals. What do you mean, David Melech? He's the king. King does what he wants. He doesn't ask questions. The king says, I'm doing something. He's doing something. What's the Shaila? Kola Omer Beparsha Melech Mutter Bo. So why is Achav and David, why are their abilities limited? The Tosfos gives around like six different answers, and each one says a lot. So let's go through one by one. V'yesh lomar, d'beparshas melech k'siv, yikach v'nasan la'avadav v'lo la'atmo. So, the reason why is because both the case of David and Achav were talking about taking for themselves personally. There is no heter of taking for themselves personally at all. The only heter is to help their avadim, to help the government, to help the palace, to help them grow. But to take it personally, that wasn't a heter. It's not a king has the right to do anything he wants. He's able to do things that's best for the government, to get the best for the service. The avadim who are helping grow the country, that's what it's for. So he represents the people, not himself. That's one answer. The Odi Shalom. The second answer is, d'bechinam haya yachal likachim haya rotzer, ava kishaya shol achav, shimchur lo, choshim naval shirishus biyadol lomar lo emchur. The second answer says, no. The king has full rights, even for his own personal benefit, to grow his staff, to grow his money, to grow his property. He's completely allowed. There are zero limitations at all in his ability. This argues in the first answer. His abilities that go to the nth degree. So what happened with Achav? Because he could have taken for free. But once you offer something on the table, you start negotiating, that's not fair to punish Navos. Navos thought it was a deal. We're negotiating here. If the king's going to take it, okay, nothing to talk about. But he asked me to come to the table, let's discuss. You want to sell for this price, for that price. And then once you're negotiating, it's no longer coming from Midin Malchus, it's coming from a Mecha Chomemkar approach. And once the Mecha Chomemkar approach, there's no question of Morbe Malchus anymore. And if he wasn't Morbe Malchus, Achav had no right to do what he did. And for that reason, this particular case, Achav was punished. But in general, the king has full rights to do whatever he wants. So these first two answers in Tosa are arguing about how far the ability of the koach of the king goes. Now the next answer is just a more of an okimta, that Achav was Einach Nami could have taken for whatever he wanted, for even his personal use, but since he was using it for Avodah Zarah, there is no heter to take, confiscate, for Avodah Zarah purposes. Then he gives another okimta, that this limits the power of the king, the Naktan. And I don't know who the Naktan is. It's a Rishon, obviously, but I don't know who he is. So the Naktan answers that Eino Mutter Rak Besados Harachokim Na'ir. The heter is only to take that which is further away from the city, out in the farms up in the country. You could buy a house in the country for, who knows, I'm just guessing, $100,000. You want to buy a house here in Woodbury, you got to pay $1 million. It's 10 times the price, and probably a tenth of the size. So far away from the city, where the value is very low, so that's where you're allowed to confiscate. But to take in prime real estate next to the palace, you're talking millions of dollars here. That's not allowed. So this limits his ability, this answer of the Naktan. And that's why, because since the Kerem Nevels was right next door to the palace, it was considered too valuable, and that's against his rights. And now, the next answer, this is not it limits the power of the king, but it's coming from a different angle. This, we're up to one, two, three, I think fifth answer now, maybe? Fourth answer. Maybe the only heter of taking something from another person for the king is b'stei machne. As opposed to stei achuza, what's stei machne, stei achuza? If you learn Maseches Erechin, you'd appreciate this. If you didn't learn Maseches Erechin, you may not appreciate this, but very simple. Stei machne, what's a stei machne, guys? Purchase. And stei achuza? Inheritance. Inheritance for the parents, for the father, the grandfather. So there are many nafkaminas in Hilchas Erechin and in Yovel, but in terms of our purposes, the stei machne, that's what's allowed. It's not his. It doesn't own it. But stei achuza, so stei achuza, that's the, you know, been grandfathered to him from his ancestors. That he can't take. So the king's you know, abilities are limited to a certain extent of what types of field. And then finally, the last answer, which is what we talked about last week, was it depends on the king. Not all kings were created equal. And what the Tosis writes here at the end is that this Parshas Melech was never said, Lo nemer rak al hamelech shenimlach al kol Yisrael v'Yehuda. It was only true about a king who had full reign over all areas of Klal Yisrael, all 12 Shvatim. And also Me'es HaMakom, and he was appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achav, however, lo malach al Yehuda, v'gam lo malach Me'es HaMakom. Achav had two strikes against him. One is, he did not have reign over Klal Yisrael, only over the Chelek Yisrael, but not Chelek Yehuda. And also, he wasn't appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But had it not been for that, he would have full rights. So, again, part of these five, six answers, what I'm trying to draw out from this is, there seems to be part of the machlokas, part of the debate, the tension is, how much ability does a king have? Is it full rights even for his personal use? Or it's limited to only whatever works for the government, what's best for the country. But for to take things to build up his personal bank account, that would be limited. That's the part of the machlokas in these different answers. Now, in this last piece here, we had seen the Ran already. The Ran who argues, a very interesting Ran. And he says about Achav in particular, where he holds that, Achav actually was appointed from Hashem. The whole tearing apart of the Malchus, that was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, that was Hashem Yisbarach Kar HaMamach. Didn't he do this? Everything that happens in the world was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly. And he argues and says, any king who's a king over any of the Shvatim, even if not all the Shvatim, they have a status of a king, of a din of a melech. That's what the Ran says. And therefore, he had to have answered one of the other answers of Tosos, why Achav was punished. But Achav, even though he's king only part of a Klal Yisrael, that's considered a din melech, and you have all parshas melech upon him. Now, the Aruch HaNer asks on Tosos, how could Tosos say that Achav was not a king? How could you say this? His number one is, Eliyahu Navi ran after Achav, and the Medrash says, to show kavod to Achav. So clearly there was kavod to Malach. Moreover, Moshe Benu goes on to show kavod to Paro. Paro certainly wasn't a king of Klal Yisrael, but he was appointed up here at Dibor, because Baruch Hu appointed him king. He orchestrated that Paro be the king. So Aruch HaNer says, even for Tosfos, Tosfos doesn't mean that Achav wasn't a king bechlal. Of course he was a king. There's a din of Malchusim. There's kavod to Malchusim. What it meant was that this parsha of Sefer Shmuel didn't apply to him. Parsha Melech didn't apply to him. But certainly the Din of Melech did. The Pashas of Tosos says there's no Din of Melech at all. Acha was a nobody. He was a hedyot. Like what the Gemara says, Acha Shverish was a hedyot. He was a nothing. He didn't have Yichas. He didn't have Chachma. He was a moron. So Achav, according to Tosos, also, he was a nothing. He was a hedyot. That's simple pshat of, and he had no right to do anything. That last answer. Ran says he was a full-blown Melech. All the halachas applied, covered him, halachas, Parshas Melech. And the Aruch there tries to balance between this Tosos and the Ran, and there's questions he asked, and says no. He had a din of Melech, but not the het of Parshas HaMelech. So that's interesting just to note in terms of the conversation of Achav. Now, all in this discussion, the Margol Yama, I didn't put in the Mar Makomos here. I think I put it in listed, but I didn't give you a copy of it. So he says, this Ran. So the Aruch HaNer had a kasha on Tosos. Now the Mark Gossian has a question on the Ran. He says, how could it be? How could you suggest that Achav was a king? If you look at the Rambam, who gets appointed to be a king? Ein ma'midin melech b'tchila el al pi bezdin shal shim v'zakenim. Is it shim v'zakenim? En v'al pi navi. It brings a raya like Yeshua. Shimineu Moshe Benu Bezdino, that Moshe Benu, who is the Navi, and the Bezdin appointed Yeshua, Yeshua had a din of Melech, according to the Rama. And Shaul and David were appointed by Shmuel, HaRamasi, and the Bezdin. But here, Achav wasn't appointed by a Navi. There's no Navi that appointed Achav. So how could the Ran say that Achav had a din of Melech? So this is the Chiddush of Margol Yam. He says, the Ramam writes, Ein ma'midin Melech b'tchila. When you initially appoint a melech, b'tchila, you need to have a navi. But when a person is a melech, because his father was a melech, because it was b'derech Yerusha, that does not need a navi. Einon ta navi, acha she'oviv zocha kvar, api navi, zocha gam levan of achav. Acha's father was a melech, I don't know the whole dynasty, but whoever, could have been his father, grandfather, I'm an aretz when it comes to many things. But certainly when it comes to Nevim, I'm incredible Am Haaretz. So Achav's father, grandfather, was appointed by a Navi at some point, and therefore that Yerusha trickled down to Achav. So even though there is no Navi appointed to Achav in particular, that was part of the Yichus, that was part of the Yerusha, and this still does make sense according to the Ran. Now, just a point or two about Yerusha, because we're not going to discuss it, and that's a very important element when it comes to Malchus. We're talking about Malachim now. Just two or three ha'aras on Yerusha by Malchus in general. There's a good marmakum, those who want to do the sugya. Yerusha by Malchus is a big source of Yerusha for Rabbanus, or any other type of position of Srara. The Ramah talks about if a person that says a Rav, and the Rav, can he morish his Rabbanus to a child? Or any other position of authority, does that go through Yerusha? The Yerusha by Malchus certainly exists. So it comes up Rasha and Daf Beis Amud Beis. There's a discussion about how to count from the years of the king for Shtaros, and when the king starts his new year, so then if he was appointed, let's say, Chavtes Adar, by Alf Nisan, that's already the second year, even one day could be a full year. Then we're has a having about a Ben Melech, if a son of a king was appointed, he perhaps is a Yerusha of Malchus, is a Rashi there. That's one my Malcolm to take a look at. But the Gemara in Krisis clearly states there's Yerusha by Malchus. There's definitely Yerusha by Malchus. Now, the means when you appoint the initial king, Betchila, you need to do anoint him with Shemen HaMishcha. Put Shemen HaMishcha and the oil in his head. He's a melech. And that passes through. The other kings don't require additional Shemen HaMishcha. But the Gemara does say in Krisus, if there's a machlokes, who's going to take over, which son will take over, then you actually do have to moshech the Shemen HaMishcha and the king. You need to. So there's a machlokes, Rashi Rambam. When there's a machlokes, does that mean the Yerusha's batel, and you're starting all new, it's all fresh again? Well, no, it's not batel. We just do the Shem Mishcha just as a game, to satisfy everybody. But the Yerusha's still in play. I forget who says which one, but you look at Rashi, I think it's Krisus Daf Hei Mabez, and the Rambam argue whether there's a batel of the Yerusha, and we're starting all fresh when there's a machlokes, or no, there's a machlokes. We decide who's being Yerush, and the Yerusha continues. The only Shemen Mishcha is simply to satisfy the people, to make them believe we're starting all fresh now, but the Shemen Mishcha is really unnecessary. That's one point about the Yerusha of Malchus. And one other point, there's interesting Margol Sayam here in Chaf Alfam and Beis, in a different context. We're going to discuss next week the halachas of a writing a Sefer Torah for a king. There's a special halacha, a special Sefer Torah a Mishnah Torah, a second Sefer Torah written for the king. So here he talks about, this is Chaf Alpha Mebez Os Lamed Vav. There's a Minchas Chinuch who talks about whether there's a concept of a queen, of a Malka. We have Hilna Amalka, we have other queens in Gemara, not too many of them. But can a woman be Malka? Is it Dinah Malchus to her? So the Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Taf Tzadi Zion, it looks like. Yeah, it's a Zion. So he says, Efshir, that we're not Mamed at Isha. The Pasuk says, Melech v'lo Malka, the Drasha. But maybe he says that's only Betchila. Maybe the initial dynasty of a family, you have to have a king, a male. But maybe through Yerusha, the Minchas Chinuch says, maybe, just like this, Benos Slavka could be Yorish, they were Yorish, their father, and a daughter could be Yorish, a father in general, if there's no sons. So maybe us as well. If she's the princess, there's no prince in the family, maybe she could also be a Bas Yerash as a Melucha. Maybe that would work. So he says that's another din. Now, on that point, he says, Yesh Lodin. Would she have to write a Mishnah Torah for herself now? A man, a king, certainly has to write a Sefer Torah. There's a Malka. If you could create a Malka, if a Malka can exist through the Hechatims of a Yerusha, would she have to write a Sefer Torah for herself? So it gets involved in a whole discussion whether the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is connected to the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. Women are pater from Limud HaTorah. If Ksiva is taller in the Limud, then seemingly she should be exempt from the Ksiva. But there's a separate mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, aside from the mitzvah of Limud. Perhaps the simple reading is because he or she needs to have a Sefer Torah to keep them in check. It's Yerushimayim, the king, the queen, I do what I want. But if they're holding a Sefer Torah with them, that kind of keeps them in check. That's the checks and balances of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the form of a Sefer Torah, and maybe it should be completely divorced from the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. So that's just the two or three Haaras on Yerusha. Either way, we see from this interesting Tosos in the Ran and others, this idea of how much power a king has. Is it for personal use, or limited only to his avadim, his palace, and the success of the government? Let's do one last piece here. One last machlokas, and this really touches upon the koach of a king, which is how to interpret this Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that the melech be poritz la'asas lo derech. He can make a pathway however he wants, wherever he wants. He can knock down the houses and fences if he needs. So the Rashi has a very interesting comment. The Rashi writes, la'asas lo derech l'sadeyu u'lekarmu. He wants to go to his backyard. You know, he's got a huge palace, imagine acres and acres of land. And then, you know, one day he's like, I like to go to the east. It's much quicker. Instead of walking at the front of my house, the north, I got to walk all the way around. I'm going to go right through that guy's house and build my walkway so I can get back and forth from my house to, I don't know, the local, I don't know, lake, marketplace, wherever he wants to go. That's completely allowed according to Rashi's understanding. Now, if you take a look at the Rambam, how he writes this, Rambam puts this in Hilchos Melachim Perkei. Perkei talks about the halachas of milchama. We discussed yesterday about milchama. Halacha gimel, ha'poritz las as lo derech, ve'inu machem biyado, the derech ha'melech ein la shir, and elek fi mashu tzarech, el ma'akim hadrach mipnei karmel shazev, om mipnei shazev shazev, el ha'olech b'shava, vosa milchamto. The Rambam stresses, it's a heter dafka during war, to make war, to fight the enemies easier. But not about walking to my backyard to make it easier for my backyard to the local wherever I'm going to. Yad Rama also points this out from Rashi. It sounds like Rashi's for his personal use. But he says, does it make sense? It's when the king's going to Melchemes Rishus and Kavachomer to Melchemes Mitzvah. So then he's able to go cut right through to attack the enemy, to defend against the enemy if need be. And that's exactly the Meiri writes as well. So we see from here this machlok is just like we saw in Tosos, two deyas. How much ability does the king have to confiscate property? Was it only for use for the country, for the avadim, for those serving the country, or even for his personal use? The same exact machlokas exists here as well. Rashi says he could knock down fences, houses, and build pathways for his own personal use. And the other shurim seem to say that only no, for the use of the tzibor, for the mechama, for the benefit of the country and the people. Okay, so let's recap quickly what we did today. We stopped talking about the mitzvah of the king. Is it a mitzvah chiyuvis? Is it a mitzvah chiyumis? Or perhaps it's even a negative thing, although it's counted as a mitzvah, but it's a negative thing. It's because more like chukas akum. We then discussed about we discussed how much rights they have to confiscate property. Was it for personal use or even for personal use or only for the purpose of the tzibur. And then we discussed about this Yerusha element of the Yerusha of the Margalos Hayam, that Achav seemingly was Yorish from his father and grandfather. Yerusha like Lagabe that, Yerusha Lagabe Machlokes, and Yerusha Lagabe and Malka queen, and then that side point about writing Sefer Torah. And finally we discussed this last piece about Parit Shlo Derech, is that even for his personal use or only for the purposes of Milchama. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow we're going to discuss the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.